down you go.
When we're young, most of us are ambitious. At 18, we start out with an ambition to save the world. A few years later, we finish up with an ambition to save part of our salary. This is all very understandable, but ambition is not always so harmless, especially in the case of a woman, if I may be allowed to say so. Ambition implies ruthlessness. Somebody's got to be hurt. And that's why most men like women to be yielding, feminine, and soft. Then they won't get hurt. This week's casebook history is the story of an ambitious woman. She was known as Nurse Waddingham. Now, her full name was Dorothea Waddingham. She was rather a commonplace little woman in her early 30s. Had a little house at 32 Devon Drive in the English town of Nottingham. And made a small, steady income taking in and nursing a few patients. Elderly women mostly, who could not afford to go to a real nursing home. She was a good nurse, even-tempered, thoughtful, and ambitious. She wanted a real nursing home of her own, something far superior to the drab quarters at Devon Drive. Nurse Waddingham worked hard, keyed up by the hope that someday, somehow, she would get her wish. Then, one afternoon in January 1935, there was a ring at the front door bell.
Oh, good morning. I'd like to see Nurse Waddingham, please.
I'm Nurse Waddingham. Won't you come in?
My name is Briggs, Mrs. Briggs.
Come into the parlor. Thank you very much.
I want to talk to you about some friends of mine, an old lady and her daughter.
Oh, yes. Now here, take this chair. Yes, it's much more comfortable.
I understand, Nurse, that you sometimes take in patients.
Yes, only in a very small way. I usually have two or three resident patients, that is, if they don't require constant attention.
Well, Mrs. Bagley and her daughter are both chronic invalids. The old lady's 87, and I'm afraid she hasn't much longer to live. But I would like to see her comfortable for the last years of her life.
Yes, of course.
And Ada, that's the daughter, she's been more or less a cripple for a good many years now. The doctors say there's not much they can do for her.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. What's wrong with her?
It's something to do with her nervous system. They say it's a kind of creeping paralysis.
I see. Does she have to spend all her time in bed?
Oh, no. She can still get around a bit. With help, that is. But she's heavy to lift, though. Weighs about 16 stone.
I can manage that all right. I have a very good man, Sullivan, who helps me with the domestic work and lifting patients when needful.
Oh, good. Then, will you be able to take the Bagley?
I believe it can be arranged.
How much would your fees be?
They'd both be staying some time, wouldn't they?
Oh, yes. Indefinitely, I'd say. For as long as you can have them.
Suppose we say £3 a week? To include board, lodging, and personal attendance for both of them. Would that be satisfactory?
Why, yes, I think so. Of course, I shall have to talk to Mrs. Bagley about it first.
Oh, certainly. And please assure her, I'll do my very best to make her and her daughter comfortable.
And so it was arranged. A few days later, frail old Mrs. Bagley and her invalid daughter arrived at Nurse Waddingham's home in Devon Drive. Nurse Waddingham was hard-working and conscientious and took an interest in all her patients. She had a quite genuine sympathy for Ada, the daughter who'd been ill for the greater part of her life. And Ada soon came to look on Nurse Waddingham not only as a most efficient nurse, but also as a trusted friend.
You've been very kind to us, Nurse, to Mother and me.
Well, I've always been interested in looking after sick people. To me, it's the only worthwhile profession. I do the best I can.
And we are very grateful.
Someday, I've managed to save up enough money. I've made up my mind I'm going to have a real nurse. Posh place, all the latest equipment, and three or four nurses on the staff, and plenty of help.
It'll take quite a bit of money to do that.
Yes, it's only a dream, but someday it'll come true. I think about it all the time.
Oh, you're not planning to put up your fees, I hope.
No, dear, not for you two. As though it's a fact I'm too soft-hearted. I'll never get rich at the low prices I charge, will I? Well, I keep hoping for some miracle.
Oh, I want you to know that Mother and I will always be able to pay you as long as we stay here.
Oh, there isn't any question.
You see, when my father died about 6 years ago, he left his property to me. The cottages, that is. He left the furniture and the household effects to Mother.
Cottages?
Yes, 8 of them. We used to live in one.
And your father left them to you?
Yes. My mother gets the income as long as she lives. And if I should die before she does, the property goes to her. My father knew we were both in poor health, you see, and he wanted to make the best arrangements he could for us.
He sounds like a very sensible man.
Oh, he was. And he made a good investment. That property is worth £1,600 now.
Is it indeed?
Every penny of it.
Let me understand this now. On your mother's death, everything comes to you. And if you should die first, the property goes to her.
That's right. So you see, with the rents coming in regular every month, we haven't anything to worry about in the meantime.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Oh, now let's stop all this talk about dying. You'll be getting depressed again.
Well, it's bound to happen sometime. And soon, I'm afraid, for Mother, poor dear.
I hope you both have many happy years ahead of you yet.
Oh, Nurse, you're such a comfort to both of us. It's good to know we have a real friend looking after us.
And Nurse Bunningham waited hand and foot on old Mrs. Baggerly and her daughter. But now, each time as she turned the old woman in bed or helped Ada into her wheelchair, she couldn't stop the thoughts that kept running through her mind. You've got £1,600. What couldn't I do if I had that money? £1,600. You're too old to enjoy it. I want a real nursing home. £1,600. Dangerous thoughts, don't you agree? For anyone to have. Particularly a person as ambitious as Nurse Wadding. In the end, ambition won, of course. No doubt Nurse Waddingham thought it a noble ambition. She could make better use of £1,600 than those two old women, she said to herself. And from then on, she set to work to get Ada completely under her thumb. And she succeeded. She succeeded so well that Ada agreed to turn over all her property to her. And in exchange, Nurse Waddingham promised to look after her for the rest of her life. All so neat and cozy, wasn't it? Yes, except for one thing. Ada's will. You see, in her will, Ada left most of her money to her cousin, Lawrence Baggerly. When Lawrence next came to pay a visit, Nurse Waddingham thought she'd better have a talk with him.
I'm glad to see Ada's doing so well. She says you're taking splendid care of her.
I'm very fond of her, Mr. Baggerly. And your aunt, too, of course. But there's one little thing.
Yes?
I'm afraid I set my fee is rather low when I agreed to take both of them at only £3 a week. They require a lot of attention, much more than I was led to believe at the time.
Well, really, I'm afraid there's nothing I can do about that.
No? Well, I'm not surprised. In fact, we thought that's how you would feel about it.
We? Who's we?
Ada and I. We've been discussing the matter, and we've come to an arrangement that suits both of us, down to the ground.
And then she told him the arrangement. Ada would leave all her money to Nurse Waddingham in return for a promise to look after Ada and her mother so long as they lived. Cousin Lawrence didn't think much of it. And he wasn't the only one. Mr. Alcock, the bank manager, Mr. Lane, the solicitor, who handled the Baggerly affairs, they were not impressed, even when Ada personally assured them it was her own wish. Meanwhile, Dr. Mansfield had a word with Nurse about her patient.
Oh, Mrs. Baggerly, she's a pretty feeble nurse. I wouldn't be surprised to see her pop off any time in the next few months.
After all, Dr. Mansfield, she is 87. She's had a good long life, I'd say. Her daughter's doing quite well, don't you think?
Yes, you're doing a fine job there. She seems very bright. She may live 2 or 3 years, or even possibly longer than that. One can never tell with her kind of case.
I see.
By the way, nurse, you'd better return to me any of the morphine tablets you have left over from the ones I gave you for Mrs. Kemp.
I have them ready for you, right here, in this box. I knew you'd ask for them.
Thanks.
Only 6 pills left, though, I'm afraid. I needed rather a lot for Mrs. Kemp.
I'm not surprised. She was suffering quite a bit before she died, poor soul.
What's this? Has someone died in spite of Nurse Waddingham's excellent care? Yes, but it was quite unavoidable. Two old ladies, a Mrs. Kemp and a Mrs. Harwood, had died within a few weeks of each other sometime after the Baggerly's arrival. But let me hasten to assure you, it was not Nurse Waddingham's fault. Dr. Mansfield, who had attended them, had found Nurse Waddingham most conscientious, and he knew she'd done all she could for them. Meanwhile, Nurse Waddingham kept very quiet about her little plan. Except, of course, to Ada Baggerly. By now, she'd wormed her way into the woman's confidence to such an extent that Ada thought the idea had been her own from the beginning. And the more Ada thought about it, the more she liked it.
You know, Nurse, it seems like a very sensible arrangement to me. It's my estate, and I can do what I please with it.
Your cousin, Mr. Lawrence, doesn't approve at all, you know. He thinks the things that I...
I don't care a thing what he thinks. Oh, well, it's only natural that he should be upset. After all, ever since I made out my will 5 years ago, he's known that I plan to leave everything to him and an old friend, Edwin Gilbert. The two of them would get all the money.
No wonder he doesn't like the idea of your leaving it to me.
Well, I've made up my mind and I won't change it. Mr. Lane, my solicitor, is coming this afternoon, and I shall have a long talk with him. I'm sure I can convince him.
Perhaps Mr. Lane doesn't believe that I'll stick to my promise to look after you and your mother for the rest of your life.
Oh, how could he think that?
Well, with his mind business all the time, he may not realize there really is a lot of love and kindness left in this world yet.
Well, I do. Just look at the devoted care you've given us. Oh, it's wonderful to have such a friend.
Eva, dear, why don't you suggest to Mr. Lane that instead of making a settlement now, you draw up a new will and leave your money to me that way?
Oh, but then you wouldn't get the money until after I'm gone.
That wouldn't matter, dear. You'd have the pleasure of knowing I was going to have the money someday, and I could wait.
You think that would be a better idea?
I do, truly.
Ada Bagley signed her new will on the 7th of May. 5 days later, her mother died.
I don't think you'll be too surprised, Dr. Mansfield, when I tell you that old Mrs. Bagley died early this morning, peacefully, in her sleep.
Well, I suppose her poor tired heart just came out at last.
I imagine so.
Of course, as we know, her death had been expected for some time. There was really nothing to be surprised about. Probably only coincidence it happened so soon after Ada had made a will in favor of Nurse Warrington. Or was it? In spite of her mother's death, Ada Bagley faced the few short years of life ahead of her, which, as she well knew, were all she could expect, with greater interest because of her strong admiration for Nurse Waddingham. £1,600, that was the value of the estate Ada now possessed. £1,600. The magic number ran through Nurse Waddingham's head. Faster now, more often, and it seemed to ring out a chant of its own.
£1,600. I'll have my nursing home. When Ada's dead, I'll have my nursing home.
Then she would glance apprehensively at Ada to make sure she hadn't been saying it aloud. She must wait. Be patient. Ada mustn't think, mustn't suspect. And so, through the summer months, Nurse Waddingham controlled her impatience. There seemed to be little change in the invalid's condition until one day the nurse talked with Dr. Mansfield on one of his regular visits to Devon Drive.
You know, Doctor, I don't think that medicine is doing Miss Bagley as much good as it should.
Why? What seems to be wrong?
Well, she gets very restless at times. Complains of pains in her arms and legs.
Well, she's still having the same medicine that was prescribed by a former doctor? The one who attended her before she came here?
Yes, but I don't think it's strong enough now.
It's really only a sedative. After all, Miss Bagley shouldn't be having any pain. More likely just, discomfort from not being able to move her body about.
I don't think it's entirely her imagination, Doctor. She isn't the kind to imagine things. I know her pretty well.
Let's see it. She's been getting BP1914. I suggest increasing the strength of the mixture and giving her 1885. That contains more morphine.
Oh, thank you, Doctor. I'm sure that would help her.
Well, I'll write you a prescription after I see Miss Bagley.
Ah, everything's going fine, isn't it? But can you realize the tragedy that's taking place? Miss Bagley was not suffering any pain until the nurse, with careful suggestions, finally planted the idea so firmly in her mind that Ada did begin to feel twinges in her arms and legs. And then they became real. Naturally, in view of her complaints and with the nurse's word to back them up, the doctor was completely taken in. He made one mistake, however. One he was not to realize for several weeks, and then it became of major importance. The new mixture he prescribed for Miss Bagley contained not more morphia, but less. A few days later, Nurse Waddingham came to him with another request.
Doctor, can you make arrangements for a cremation?
A cremation?
Yes. Lady told me she wants to be cremated after her death.
Isn't she being a bit previous? There's no immediate prospect of her dying. She seems just about as usual.
Well, I suppose she spends a lot of time thinking about it. I'd like to carry out her wishes. I'm very fond of her, you know.
I think the first thing we'd better do is to get a letter from her. Something in writing, saying that she wants it done. In case there's any objection, you know, from her relatives.
Oh, but there won't be. Still, that's a good suggestion, Doctor. I'll get a letter from her.
Oh, good afternoon, Mrs. Briggs. You've come to see Ada, I suppose.
Yes. Nurse.
How is she today?
Well, to tell you the truth, I haven't been too happy about her lately. Oh. She seems to have lost some of her good spirits. She's been complaining more than usual.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I dare say she'll brighten up when she sees you. She's very lonely by herself, poor dear.
I don't wonder. I wish I could come to visit her oftener, but you know how it is. There never seems to be enough time to do everything.
Oh, come along this way, will you?
Yes.
Why, Nancy. Oh, how kind of you to come and see me.
Ada, darling, how well you're looking.
You really think so?
Why, yes, of course. Don't you agree, nurse? Yes, indeed. The sunshine is doing her a world of good.
I brought you a little present, Ada. There you are.
Chocolate for me, Nancy. Oh, how sweet of you. And my favorite kind, too. Oh, have a chocolate, nurse. Here, try this one.
Thank you, dear.
Oh, she takes such good care of me, Nancy.
I wish I could do more for you. I could do more, a lot more for all my patients if I had more up-to-date establishments.
And so you shall someday, dear. I feel sure of it. Now tell me, Nancy, what have you been doing since I last saw you?
There was a worried frown on Nurse Waddingham's face as she walked back into the house. How much longer could Ada go on living? The battle in her soul was wearing the nurse down. The many years she'd spent in saving lives, how could she yield to the awful temptation of taking a life, even when she knew her crime could be successfully accomplished? Nurse Waddingham had in her possession a box full of morphia tablets she'd kept back, a few at a time, and the quantity given her by the doctor to ease the suffering of the two old ladies, Mrs. Kemp and Mrs. Harwood, who'd previously died. No one knew she had them. No one would suspect the nurse of poisoning. Cremation of the body would hide all traces of poisoning. Ada's death was only a matter of time anyway. How could it matter if she arranged to have it happen sooner? Think of all the good she could do for her other patients when she could afford a real nursing home. Ada Baggerley died next morning.
Yes, Doctor. She died about 10 o'clock.
Tell me what happened.
Well, she became very ill during the night. She was asleep at 2 a.m. when I looked in on her. But she didn't seem right. I went back again at 2:20, and her eyes were open then, but her face was flushed, and she was breathing heavily. I spoke to her, but she didn't answer. I thought she was having a stroke.
Did she recover consciousness at all?
No. No, later on, she went all blue and never opened her eyes again.
And she died about 10 this morning, you say?
That's right, Doctor.
I wish you'd called me sooner, nurse.
I didn't think there was much you could do for her, poor dear. It was so obvious to the end.
Well, that was Nurse Waddingham's story. She knew well enough from her past nursing experience the way in which Ada Baggerley would probably have died. And she was able to convince the unsuspecting doctor. But never a word did she mention about the morphia tablets she'd given to Ada. Morphia tablets which had first sent her into a coma and then at last snuffed out her life. Dr. Mansfield signed the death certificate giving as the cause of death cerebral hemorrhage. He'd hardly lifted his pen from the paper when Nurse Waddingham thrust a letter into his hand.
What's this?
It's the letter you said I ought to get from Miss Baggerley about her cremation.
Yeah. I desire to be cremated at my death for health's sake. My last wishes are that my relatives shall not know of my death. Signed, Ada Baggerley, witness R.J. Sullivan.
That's what you wanted, isn't it?
Yes.
I didn't think it would be quite proper for me to witness it, so I asked my assistant, Sullivan, the man who helps about the case, you know.
I see. Well, I'll send you along a regular form for such matters and fill it out. Have Sullivan take it over to the Cremation Society. They'll help you with the details.
Oh, thank you, Doctor.
Nurse Waddingham must have breathed a very deep sigh of relief. Her worst danger was past. Now all that remained was to get her victim safely cremated. Any trace of poisoning would be destroyed by fire. As she filled in the cremation form, her thoughts were not of the poor soul she had callously murdered, but of the fine new establishment she would soon have, thanks to Ada's money. Perhaps that's why she did a thing she'd never done before. She wrote down the address of her little house in Devon Drive as the nursing home. Then Sullivan took along the form to arrange for the cremation. Now, it just happened that the medical referee for the society was also the Nottingham Medical Officer of Health. He read through the form and then looked up at Sullivan.
Is this form correctly filled in?
Why, I believe so, sir.
Who wrote out the particulars?
Nurse Waddingham, sir.
Never heard of her. Who is she?
Why, she's in charge of the place on Devon Drive. As a matter of fact, she owns it.
The place where Miss Ada Baggerley died?
Yes, sir.
Nursing home? Strange. I never heard of a nursing home on Devon Drive. And I ought to know I'm also the registrar of nursing homes.
Well, she's been there a number of years, sir.
Well, just a moment while I look through my records here. Nope. No, definitely. There's no listing of any qualified nursing home at that address. I have to look into this.
The nursing home. Three little words that summed up the high hopes and ambitions of Nurse Waddingham. Three little words that gave the vital clue to an almost perfect murder. Ironic, don't you think? That it was Nurse Waddingham herself who wrote them. She waited so long for her dream to come true that with the money almost in her grasp, she felt it was almost as good as hers. The coroner ordered a post-mortem, and chemical analysis revealed a large quantity of morphia present in Ada Bagley's body. Scotland Yard came to call at Devon Drive.
Bagley was taken in the afternoon, Inspector. That was after her friend Mrs. Briggs left. Sullivan and I put her to bed. She took a turn for the worse, so I gave her two tablets.
What kind of tablets?
They contain morphia. Dr. Nansky has prescribed them for her, to be used at my discretion.
Was he in the habit of prescribing morphia for Miss Bagley?
Why, yes. Her other medicine always had morphia in it. When she started to complain about pain, he increased the strength of the mixture.
I see. How much did Miss Bagley have the night she died?
I don't like the way you said that, Inspector. You sound as though you're accusing me of not knowing my job.
Just answer my question, please, nurse. How much morphia did she have?
Well, I couldn't tell you the exact amount. I gave her two tablets when we put her to bed, and later some of her regular medicines.
How many tablets did the doctor say she was to have?
He didn't say. He left that for me to judge. He gave me two for her on August the 27th and four more on September the 2nd.
You seem to remember the dates remarkably well.
I pride myself on being efficient and giving the best possible care to my patients.
And yet, in spite of your best possible care, Miss Bagley died. Of a stroke, you say.
Well, you can hardly call that my fault, can you?
But if actually she died of morphia poisoning, what do you think a court of law would say to that?
Nurse Waddingham stood trial for the murder of Ada Bagley at Nottingham Assizes in February 1936. With pale, expressionless face, they listened to the testimony of Dr. Mansfield against her.
I never left any tablets on August the 27th or September the 2nd, nor had I at any time left tablets with the prisoner or anybody else for Ada Bagley.
But he stated that he had previously given to Nurse Waddingham more than 100 half-grain morphia tablets for other patients.
Yes, for Mrs. Harewood and Mrs. Kemp, but never more than 8 at any one time. I understood from the prisoner that she had returned to me any that were left over.
And the other medicines you ordered for Ada Bagley?
I prescribed BP-1885 in place of BP-1914, under the impression I was ordering a stronger mixture. Actually, I was in error, and the second mixture contained less morphia.
And yet the post-mortem has showed in Ada's body more than 12 times the amount of morphia necessary to cause her death. Nurse Waddingham's own story in the witness box was torn to shreds by the prosecution. The jury found her guilty. And in April, this nurse who violated the most sacred principles of her profession paid for her crime. She was hanged. Nurse Waddingham was tried only for the murder of Ada Bagley. But because of the circumstances of this death, the body of her mother was exhumed. Yes, you're right. A post-mortem showed old Mrs. Bagley had had a fatal dose of morphine some 6 to 12 hours before she died. It's a pity about Nurse Waddingham. Conscientious, hard-working, but ambitious. Always be careful of ambitious people, particularly women, or they'll be the death of you.